Here we go, baby. I've just left Ascot Champions Day. It's time to go to Australia. Melbourne, here I come, boys. The Cox Plate is going to be huge.
Right, here we go. Welcome to Moonee Valley. Absolutely buzzing for this. My first Cox Plate, and unbelievably, the last one before they redo the entire grandstand. This is going to be some day, baby. Come on, Villa. Lift up, J-Mac. Lift up, J-Mac. Come on, Villa. Oh God! Where's the post? Where's the post? Yes! Yes! Well, here she is, the legend herself, Gay Waterhouse. What an honour to meet you. Can't believe we're about to jump on a chopper together.
We are. And I can't wait. I can't wait to be up front and personal.
Oh, brilliant. Here we go, boys and girls. Stay tuned. He's going to win the derby. He's going to win the derby. He's a machine. Up to the derby. Easy money, baby. What a horse.
This is absolutely unbelievable. I'm sitting here at Call of the Card, and people are gambling to win £1 million. All around this room. I'm having a beer, I've got my race card, I've got my steak ready, we've got Big G in the house just over there, he's going to be punting, we've got all the boys in the room, it's absolutely unbelievable.
About to see the biggest trophy in the world of racing here at the Crown. Where is it, Simon? Where is it? I'm here with the one and only Calvin, the Melbourne Cup winning trainer. Lift it, baby! Lift it!
G'day punters and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are super excited because we've got a very special episode for you tonight. The man of the moment, Stephen Power, racing blogger. He's taken Australia by storm. If you don't know him and you're in the racing game, you probably have been living under a rock. Blogger, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolute pleasure, boys. We made it happen this evening. I've just been in town drinking a few bottles of wine at a few racing events, and here we are. Look at the old backdrop. Not bad at all, eh?
Not bad. In Docklands. So you've been having a drink tonight, something for a change?
Yeah, something for a change. I was at the Crown Oaks lunch with Craig David. Do you know Craig David, the singer?
Yep. Insomnia? Yep.
That's it. Rewind Monday Tuesday. So that was brilliant. Then I went to the Morris House to have some more drinks. Jumped in a cab back here, and now I'm on the carrot and ginger juice to level me up.
Well, I've actually got a joke that I reuse quite regularly about Craig David, about his song Insomnia. Whenever a horse has been up for too long, we say it's been up longer than Craig David. So,
good one.
It's a very overused joke that that we have on.
Not bad.
Obviously, Nico and I met you the other night at the Calcutta for the Melbourne Cup, but this is Will Alford. We call him the bot, the robot. So, botter, meet blogger.
Oh, you're the botter. That's who they were talking about on Twitter.
Yes.
That's me.
Fine.
So, we call him the bot because he's very calculated and he loves his ratings. I'm not sure if that's how you like to punt, if you're just by the eye. How do you do your own punting?
So my punting comes down to race replays and watching races day in, day out. So, you know, a horse starts at 2, 3, 4, or it's a national hunt horse, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'd have a long history of that horse with my own eye. And I know their capabilities as they move through the grades. I wouldn't necessarily use other people's ratings. I don't make my own ratings, but I do make my own tissue. So tissue means when you're having a bet, I'll make my own betting forecast. But most of my work's done purely on race replay analysis. I've got a really good eye at watching horses come from the back of the field or the middle or wherever, and getting stuck into them and having them in my tracker, ready to go to war.
Yeah, awesome. Let's strip it right back to the start, mate. I've obviously been following you for quite a while, but for all of our listeners who don't know you so well, do you want to just touch on your story briefly on what got you into racing, and then we'll touch on what got you here to Australia?
Yeah, so born in a little old island in a place called Clonmel, which is in Tipperary. It would be about 15 to 20 minutes from where Aidan O'Brien trains in Rose Green. And in between those areas is a place called Feathered. And Feathered is home to some of the best trainers in the history of horse racing in Ireland. You'd have about 40 trainers in that small little town. And then there'd be trainers in Clonmel as well. So I grew up there till the age of 4. My mum put me on a boat to London. We moved to England. And that was kind of my association with horse racing over, really, until at the age of 15, I watched it with my grandmother in her council flat in London. And a young man called Aidan O'Brien came on the TV with a horse called Istabrack at Cheltenham. She brought me into a bookmaker. There was all these fat old men smoking. My eyes were so watery from the smoke coming into them. She slipped me a £10 note and I looked up at the screens and all these numbers and here comes Zellman over the final furlong and he's jumping the second last. And I was like, isn't this fucking brilliant? I became hooked on the sport. I started bunking off of school. That means not going to school. And I became obsessed with the sport. She bought me horse racing a few months later at the age of 16. And I remember standing on the outside of the parade ring. I saw these big muscly horses with all those veins down their hind legs, all these posh people in the middle of the race course with all these fancy clothes on. And at the time, we didn't really have much money. We were a working class Irish family. And I just was mesmerized by the whole charade of it, really. And it kicked on from there.
Yeah, awesome. Speaking of big muscles and big veins popping out, I hear you've done a little bit of that on the side. Can you touch on that at all?
Yeah, so from the age of about 22 really to 31, I was a sports nutritionist, a Pilates teacher and a personal trainer. I worked with thousands of clients worldwide. I studied really hard with the best Australian scientists, Canadians, Americans, British. I went to all the conferences all over the world. I was a bit of a science and nutritional geek. I loved all the data behind it. And that's what's really helped me with my horse racing journey is I understand the periodization of training a racehorse in waves. And it all mixes and matches. I was really talented at mathematics as a young kid. And when I started learning about odds, it became really easy to me. It was never a challenge. And my health background, you know, I think it probably imprints the stamina for me and what I'm doing these days, because there was many years when I never used to drink. I didn't have my first alcoholic drink till the age of 25. So I was a late party goer. So lived very clean. I was very shredded, very strong. And here we are now.
And you'd choose this life over that life any day of the week, or do you miss it to some degree?
No, I don't miss it at all, Ben. you know, when you're a shredder, you don't have much of a life. I was eating my meals out of Tupperware, home-cooked food for months on end, and lifting those heavy weights is pretty hard going. It takes a lot of dedication. I sacrificed a large part of my life to achieve that physique as a natural. Most guys in the industry, they all use juice. They're on steroids. I'm a clean athlete. I met a lot of great people in the industry, but when I got my breakthrough in horse racing, I was happy to leave.
So you touch on that stamina. That's what everyone in Australia is so bemused about. How does this man keep on doing it? And what you put that down to the fact that you did start partying a little bit later and the fact that you have been so healthy for so long?
Yeah, I'd put it down to that, but I'd also put it down to the fact that I get a huge buzz out of my social media. Like when I'm there with Gay Waterhouse on a helicopter, I've got a massive hard on. When I'm there with Chris Waller, I've got a massive hard on. You know? When I'm there with the best trainers in the world, I've got a massive hard on. You know? I'm just buzzing. I'm buzzing to get that content out there, you know? It's what I live for, baby.
Oh, that's great. Gay's going to love that when she hears that.
You know, so yeah, listen, when I'm at my best and I'm out there on the field, I call it the war field. I'm just thriving and I'm really excited. And that kind of energy and that passion really keeps me going a long way. When you're getting out of bed and you're mingling with those people, I'll tell you, it gives you a hard on.
That could be the single greatest line ever on this podcast.
Vloggers definitely come to Australia and thrive since he's been here. He's just 100%. Gotten better and better. And I don't reckon any distance would stop him. He could just keep going.
I'm a Grand National horse, 4 mile, 4 furlongs.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Let's take it back to you first arriving here. Yeah. What got you over to Australia? I'm sure you've seen our races previously and you wanted to come for the Melbourne Cup, etc. But what really got you here? Obviously, Aaron Morrison, Racing Victoria. How did it all go down?
So I was in France at the Deauville Carnival in Normandy. If you haven't been to that region of France, one of the most beautiful places in the world. And the Deauville Carnival goes on for a month. I'm obviously an ambassador with France Gallo. But I don't work at Deauville. I go there for my holidays. And it was the first time I got to bring Vanessa over there. And I told her about how special it is. You've got a race course. And then just behind the race course, there's a massive beach and the whole region of the Normandy Strip. I was having a meal in the restaurant. There were 25 people. And all of a sudden, this geezer, he cocked his eyes onto me with these really beady eyes. And I was sitting on the corner having a quiet night. And he comes over to me and says, "Good day, cunt. Who are you then?" You know, it was hilarious. And, you know, that was Simon Morris. And we had a great chat. I was having a big lamb shank. And he went, "How's your fucking lamb?" So we became good friends. We went out the next day to the races and we stuck up a good friendship. We obviously travelled with Asfora, who won the Prix de l'Abbey, and what a racehorse. He came back to Australia, had a chat with Aaron Morrison, and had a chat with them, and fast forwards, here we are, and what a journey it's been. I think I've only been here 15 or 16 days. It's been nuts.
I think he was eating off my plate the other night as well after a few skis.
He's one hell of a bloke.
He's a machine. He's 66. What an animal, eh? What a boy.
Talk us through those moments with Asfora. She's now won a couple group ones over in Europe, and you've been there especially, you know, for her last couple performances. Talk us through that model. It was like to experience that with the Henry Dwyer team.
Yeah, so I got a phone call. I wasn't actually going to go to the Judmont meeting this year in York because I decided to take a bit of a breather from horse racing during the flat season because I cover national hunt racing all year round. So going through the flat season as well as the national hunt, it's exhausting, you know. So I said to Vanessa, "I'm going to take a bit of a breather and we'll go and do some more holidays." I get a phone call from Simon. "G'day, mate. Do you fancy joining us at York tomorrow?" And I was like, "Well, you know, Vanessa will need to get a day off work. You've obviously got a runner in the Nunthorpe. That's huge." I said to her, "Listen, we've got to go. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And this filly has a major chance." So we jumped on a train. It's a two-hour journey from London. We booked a last-minute hotel. And that's how it all kicked off, really. She was incredible in the Nunthorpe. That would probably be the best sprint in England. She went on to win the Prix de l'Abbey, got beat at the Curragh. The ground was really tacky and soft that day. But it's been some journey. I got to meet all the family, the Fakarakis. Hopefully I haven't pronounced their name wrong there. But we were in their restaurant the other night in Fairfields. Is it Fairfield?
Yep.
Is that right?
Could be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They've got a lovely pub up there, the Grandview. And that's how that all came about, really. It was through Simon and being a guest of theirs, and we struck up a great friendship.
Yep. And obviously, the sprinting scene over in the UK and Europe,
terrible.
Probably not at its strongest right now, but...
It's awful. Asfora's winning group ones over there.
I'm not going to discredit her at all. She's a legend, but our sprinters, like, you might have one horse win one race, then he finishes last the next race. Like, we don't have a sprinting division at the moment. It's so bad, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, even here, like, our sprinting division is decent right now, but Kaying Rising still came over. He handled them quite comfortably.
Yeah.
What did you make of the Melbourne Cup yesterday? Because it was an Australian bred runner winning it in half yours, but completing the Cup's double, Jamie Carr becomes the first woman to achieve that feat. And for Australian racing, it probably was, you know, significant given we have had the last two winners of the Cup.
Yeah, for me, like, you got to remember, it's my first time going to a Melbourne Cup. So I was just like in Disneyland, really. I was really excited walking through the gates. You boys have probably done it a fair few times, but I was excited. I got a boat there. It's down the canal, which only took 20 minutes to avoid the queues. So that was really easy. Got dropped off outside and I came in through one of the back entrances where you come onto the main lawn through all the stands.
Yep.
The weather was a bit treacherous at times, but besides that, I thought the day as a whole was, it goes into the top five that I've been to worldwide. And I've done every race in England, Ireland, France. I've been to Bahrain. I've been to Dubai. I've been to the Breeders' Cup. Like, that is a hell of a meeting. The whole week as a whole with the Spring Carnival, the Champion Stakes coming up, the Oaks, the Derby and the Cup. Just unbelievable. Breathtaking. And do you know what really impressed me the most was how your young people conduct themselves on a race course. So chilled out, really well behaved. Everyone's having a drink, but they're doing it, you know, with good... good decency about them, whereas in the UK people are knocking about and having fights all the time. I was impressed by everyone there, and I thought the racing was magnificent. There was discos inside private rooms near the birdcage and by the DJ set. Don Julio set, did you see that?
Yep, I saw some of your videos.
Yeah, that was
fantastic.
Nuts. 25 people in there at a time. They closed the doors like a nightclub in there. The food was outstanding. I got some little arancinis and pizzas, and for $20, 10 English pounds, that's like twice as cheap as back home. One of the best days racing in the world, mate. What a winner. What I thought was a great race.
I couldn't believe the size of the.
Oh, sorry, Vince.
I couldn't believe the size of the tuna in the Ichiban tent.
Mate, you want to know how much that cost?
Oh, I don't want to imagine how much it cost.
Mega money. That was sick. And I
did you get up to the roof?
So I just
did you get up to the rooftop at all?
Yeah.
Did you venture up to the rooftop at all?
I haven't been to the bloody rooftop yet, and I'm really annoyed about it. So tomorrow, I'm going to the rooftop.
You've got to go to the rooftop.
Yeah. I'm not going in that birdcage until the end of the day. I'm going to the rooftop, staying around the grandstand area. I've been on the lawn. I've been in all the tents. But tomorrow, members and grandstand.
Yeah, you will love it.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah, I can't wait.
How does it compare to, like, what would you liken it to around the world? Like, what do you have, like, a comparison for what you've experienced in Australia to a different place in the world?
I guess this week would have to be synonymous with Royal Ascot, really. You know, this is your big carnival. This is the one that puts you on the map globally. I love the fact that you have a day's break in between the racing, because doing 5 days in a row at Royal Ascot, I tell you now, is a killer. Royal Ascot's a pain in the ass to get to. It's a 50-minute journey from London, and then you have to walk up a steep hill for 10 minutes, and there's just thousands of people crawling up this hill. Women's feet are in tatters by the time they get to the top. So it's much easier getting to Flemington, I'll tell you that, especially if you get there easy. I thought it was similar, but I thought it was better in the sense that I thought you had better food, I thought you had better entertainment, and I thought the pre-race build-up was a better memory for me. You had everyone, all the owners with their own flags. You had the national anthem. I thought that resembled with a lot of people, whether that's your cup of tea or not. I enjoyed it a bit more than going racing in England at this stage.
And what about Moonee Valley you went to the other week? It's a lot different from Flemington, but tell us what you liked and maybe didn't like about the smaller course.
So my bread and butter, when I started vlogging 9 years ago, I was only going to the little tracks, the Plumptons, the Sandowns, all of those types of track. So I'd meet all the local people. For me, places like Moonee Valley are the bread and butter of horse racing. I call it a cauldron, a tight atmosphere, no escape. If you get beat, you're stuck in there. You know, you've got to suffer. So I absolutely loved it. Probably my favourite race course I've visited so far. Obviously, VO1, if she got beat, it might have been a different story. but then seeing fellas rip out the rails. I saw one guy grab the photo finish camera and run down the track with it. So it was a memorable day. Like, people were just going mad. So I loved Moonee Valley. I hope when they redo it, it still has that kind of feel to it in the future.
Yeah, let's hope.
Blogger, obviously, on Monday, we went to the Call of the Card. What did you... did you like that? And what could that sort of compare to anything back home? Obviously, the wagering landscape back there is obviously in dire straits. So how did you like Call the Card? And
I mean, I felt like a junkie there. Fellas were having £500,000 on horses. I was absolutely buzzing. 200 grand, 100 grand, 300 grand, 400 grand. There's me standing up like a big man with my 2 grand on horse. I felt like a right prat.
it was unbelievable.
The money floating about in the room. Apparently, they had 15 security guards with all the fellas, the bookies coming out to escort them with guns and all that to make sure nobody tried to rob them. So, it was just outstanding, really. I've never seen anything like that. And I'll tell you what, events like that are what gambling's all about. We all love a punt, and that was a proper punt.
And how does that compare to back home? Like, you know, wagering industry is quite strong. Can you tell us what it is like back in the UK and what advantages we have in terms of our industry and our wagering?
It feels like here you can have a bet and not be judged. Whereas back in the UK, if you say you're a punter or a race fan, people almost, I feel like these days they turn their nose up at you almost, you know?
Oh, gross.
It's like, it's like I don't really say to people I don't know that I'm involved in betting or the horse racing industry at times. I just, what do? Work and travel. Yeah, they've never met me before. So, but we don't have pubs where you can have a bet. That's illegal in the UK.
That's so insane to me. When you posted that initially, I was just completely.
That's why I was so happy when I came over here and I was like, right, you can have a bet here, I can have a bet there, I can have a pint, I can have a burger and chips and watch the race. It's like brilliant.
Mate, it's unbelievable.
We've been growing up in TABs and in pubs, and look, let's be honest, we've been having a cheeky poke at the machine since we've been teenagers, so it's just second nature to us. And is that why you think prize money is so strong in Australia and why it's potentially not as strong?
Yeah, so your model would be like the France, the PMU, the Paris Mutuel, where I know you've got sports books here as well, but I know a lot of it goes back into one big pool. In England, you'd have hundreds and hundreds of bookmakers, and it doesn't go – well, a lot goes back into the levy, but it doesn't certainly doesn't go back into prize money. I mean, if you win a maiden in Britain, you're winning $3,000, which would be 6,000 AUD, which is peanuts. It barely – if you have a horse trained in Newmarket, it costs about 7,000 Australian dollars per month. And if you win a maiden, you might win – by the time you pay your jockey and trainer, $5,000. So you win a race, you don't even cover a month's training fees. It's disgusting. The sport is in – big, big trouble. And unfortunately, I don't think there's a way back for it back home.
Really?
No.
So you might have to move here eventually. Is that what you're saying?
You might be Aussie blogger in the future. You might have to change the Twitter handle.
He can definitely Aussie move blogger. Here. He can definitely move here and he can be with his companion, who's the number one.
Hey, Miles Fitzner.
Where's your wig? Where's your wig?
He's got it in his head.
How are you, Miles?
Obviously nothing to do with horse racing in my house whatsoever.
Good to see you, brother. How are you getting on?
Hey, boys, I've got a runner tomorrow. This is where you're talking about races overseas. I've got a runner tomorrow in a Benchmark 80 worth $500,000. So if you see someone without the shirt on in the mounting yard as it crosses the line first, that'll be me at the end, lads. So
well, good luck, mate.
Have a guest appearance. Go massive. Well, love you, Bonzi.
That's massive, and, mate. Good luck.
People are probably wondering what that horse is, and it is race 6 at Flemington tomorrow in the Country Cup final, Benchmark 80 over a mile, and it is number 14, I Catch 'Em Fox. 20-1 blogger. You might have to have a little lump on.
Hang on.
He's writing it down. Race 6, number 14.
That'll be good content for the vlog, blogger.
100%.
I actually met a fella last night. I can't say this on camera, but he came up to me.
Hey, you've already said you've had a boner with Gay Waterhouse, so it can't get much worse.
I'll be killed if I say it. But he came up to me with Calvin last night when I was holding the Melbourne Cup trophy. And he said he's got a horse riding on Saturday. This is an absolute certainty. So once I have a bet and he's had a bet, I'll let you all know. But yeah, I'm hoping we got a nice winner coming potentially.
All right. I've got one as well. Her name starts with Via and it ends with Justina.
What price do you want at?
Don't tell anyone. I'm wanting a little bit of $2.50.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
But let's talk about the reception here in Australia. I think the reception for you has been outstanding. How have you sort of taken it, and what's been your thought of how people have viewed you and how they've accepted you?
Yeah, I had no real I had no real aspirations when I came over to try to assume what people might think of me or whatnot. I was just going to be me, and I've learned via social media it's a very dark place at times. People are ruthless on there, and I'm quite immune and shut off to that now at this stage. So I thought, look, I'm going to come over and be me, and if people warm to me, they warm to me. If they don't, that's not my fault. Your job in life is never to try and please everybody. You have to be sincere to yourself and be yourself. Otherwise, you're going to end up being called out for being a fake and you're going to burn out. I came over, and I'll be totally honest with you, within 5 days, I was overjoyed with the response. It was unbelievable. And it's probably what's really given me the passion and motivation to get out of bed at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. when I'm on my knees and to keep cracking on, because the love from so many people has been over joyful. It's been amazing.
Why and do you think that the people in in the UK are so against what you do? Why do you think there's such a difference? Because I can't understand it.
Yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't say they're against what I do. I'd say that within the major organisations, they haven't allowed me to enter their realm, mainly due to jealousy. But with the general public, like when I go to Cheltenham or Aintree or the Dublin Racing Festival, there's waves of people wanting to meet me and have a photo with me and speak to me. So with the people, they absolutely love me. The jockeys, they love me. The trainers, they love me. The breeders, they love me. But the racing establishments, they've been very keen not to open that door and allow me in. I came on the scene back in the UK and Ireland, and within a few years, I think I upset the apple cart. And there's a saying in one of those clever books, far cleverer than me, you should never upset the master. So they've just tried to pigeonhole me and hold me back. But when you've got the people behind you, You're like a tornado. You're like a steam train. Choo-choo, choo-choo. You're plowing through the snow, you know. You're an unstoppable force. And this has crippled them even further. This is why they hate me. They thought they could beat me down, but they couldn't stop the blogger. He keeps moving forward. He won't be beaten. So here we are, you know. They can try, but they'll never stop. But England's a great place. There's a lot of people who like to tick boxes with their little pens, and you know, as long as they're getting paid, they're happy. But I challenge the hierarchy there.
When I heard about you having the cooling effect on horses and on bets and stuff like that, I said, "Nah, there's no way. It just has to be lifted.
The blogger can't
stop. He's just too good."
Ah, listen, if anything gets beats these days, it's my fault. It's always bloggers' fault, whether it wins or it gets beat. Everyone just has to blame me. I'm an easy target now.
Well, that's sort of similar to what happens here, blogger.
Yeah.
If one gets beat, it's my fault. Yeah. I'm the cooler.
You've got to take it on the chin. It's all banter. Like, we all know backing winners isn't the easiest thing in the world to do. More times than not, you're probably going to get beat. So you've just got to laugh it off, haven't you?
Oh, 100%.
How did you get through that initial stage? Like, obviously, when you're starting something up, you cop a lot of haters because they don't respect what you do yet. Yeah. How did you push through that sort of stigma against you and have the confidence to do what you're doing?
Yeah, good question. I was a runner from the age of 5 to 20. I was an 800-meter runner and a 400-meter runner. And I think if you've ever run track and field, it's a horrible event to do. It's really tough mentally. The training sessions, we used to do 600-800 meter splits, 10 400-meter splits. And that kind of toughens you up. You know, you build a real backbone about you, because to be an athlete, there's a book called The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. And it talks about the mindset of running and how lonely it is when you're out there competing. And I think from the age of 5 to 20, that gave me a lot of inner strength. I was also partially crippled when I was about 19 years old. I ended up in a wheelchair. I lost the use of my right leg. I suffered multiple blood clots, so I had all my veins removed from my right leg. I had to learn to walk again. It was really nasty at the time. I had a breakdown. So I think all of those lessons in life have probably toughened me up. And these days, from the age of probably about 25, I just don't really give a fuck what other people think. Call me arrogant, but I just don't care, man. I just don't care.
The best way to be.
People can chipper-chapper and bloggers this and bloggers that and bloggers the Antichrist and how bad is blogger. I'm sitting here behind the keyboard laughing my ass off. I'm with Gay Waterhouse, I'm with Chris Waller, I'm with Aidan O'Brien, I'm with John Guston, you know, just keep talking, you know. You've got to be thick-skinned, don't get me wrong, but I think if you take social media too seriously, you're going to crumble. You can't let people beat you down. You can't let them do it to you.
Well, once you've been through something like that, nothing will break you.
Yeah, for sure. I think it either makes you or it breaks you, really. You know, I had a lot of complications after the surgery. I think my nerves stopped functioning. I couldn't feel my foot for 5 months. I couldn't put it on the ground. It was black and blue, like beyond belief. It was a long rehabilitation. Then I had another big surgery, I think at 27 again, more veins removed so I don't get a blood clot to the heart or the head. Probably cheering home all those winners, you know, too much basketball.
100%. Not the losers, the winners.
But yeah, there we are, mate. You know, you just got to keep going in life. Think of the Rocky Balboa situation, the story. You know, you won't be beaten. This will not be beaten, boys.
He's undefeated.
Let's talk about your support crew, who you've come over here with. We met Mrs. Blogsy the other night at the pub. Yeah. We also met Luke, who's come over as well.
Matt.
And a few other – oh, yeah, sorry, Matt. Yeah. And a few other boys who have come over from the UK, et cetera. Talk us through them. And also, we know that I learned that they sort of help you organise your schedule as well.
Yeah, so Vanessa's a huge part of my life. Like, she's probably the brains behind the operation. She's just giving me a little look.
She's incredible. She'd love that. Little
I just got serious. Love it. That death stare. You want to see that death stare?
We had to give her a mention.
listen, she's fantastic and she's so supportive. To do what I do with the travel commitments, going to England, Ireland, France, you know what it's like, boys. When you go racing, you end up in a boozer till all hours of the night. Your missus is at home. She just lets me do what I want. So I don't think there are many women out there who'd be so easygoing. And if I tell her I'm going to go to France for a week because I've got an opportunity, she says go. I think a lot of women would probably try to say, well, look, you can't leave me. And then you probably end up breaking up with them. But she's really supportive. I'm supportive of her when she does her yoga stuff. And we work really well as a team.
Awesome. And does Vanessa have stamina like you, or not quite?
I'll be honest, mate. She can party as hard as any of us. She's Spanish, so she can be on the dance floor to 5 a.m. She's a machine. She's an absolute. There's times where I'm sitting in a chair in a club and I'm like, can we go home now? And she's still doing the tango and throwing shapes and cutting moves all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the key. Bloggers has given us the secret. All you've got to do is just take the selfie stick, start doing content, and it's an immunity.
There you
go. That's all you've got to do.
Yeah, you create your own energy, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
a few quick fire ones. Best thing you've done over here and worst thing you've done?
The worst thing was getting in the helicopter with Gay Waterhouse because I'm petrified of flight heights. So, I didn't say anything.
You still managed to get a hard on.
When I landed, I did. When we took up in the air, I broke out in sweat. I put my sunglasses on. I didn't open my eyes for most of the journey. So, yeah, my legs were like jelly when I got off of that helicopter. I'll tell you that now. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah, I'll be scared of that as well.
But the other leg wasn't jelly.
Couldn't feel it. The best thing, God, what was the best thing? I really enjoyed Moonee Valley. I really enjoyed that when Via won because it was. I hyped her up so much. And if she got beat, Twitter was going to destroy me. Everyone was ready for that horse to get beat. You know, I could feel the pressure. So when she won, I was just over the moon, really. I actually really enjoyed going to Three Bridges Stud Farm with Toby Liston and Gay Waterhouse to see the young yearlings because I mic'd her up and I heard what she was saying when she was looking at them all walking past and I learned so much. I love learning all the time. And she said about the young horses, the reason why Australian horses can handle the ground here is because they're in the sunshine so much more than British and European horses and they've got more bone density. And that was something I never knew. I just really enjoyed that day. It was really good to meet Chris Waller at his stables. I hope to see him again soon. But there's been so many things, really. It's hard to pigeonhole it. I thought the Derby was excellent as well. That was a great event.
Yeah.
100%. I thought so too, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, Will's favourite horse won the Derby, Observer. He basically picked this horse out from its first start, so well done to Will.
Did you get some nice anti-post prices?
Give Blogger the backstory behind it, Will.
Oh, I ran a good time at Sandown one day, and I said it's a good horse, and it's a good horse.
And then what happened after you anointed it a superstar?
Oh, I completely launched it at its third start. It got beat at Flemington.
Always the way.
Anyway, it's gone on to win. It doesn't matter. Yeah, in front now.
Potter's not a futures punter, but he had a good bet on the day.
What was that, mate?
Did you have a good bet in the Derby?
Yeah, no, it was a good result.
Yeah, good stuff.
So Will's mum actually listens to this this podcast, so we don't disclose how much we bet on here, or else she'd have a little bit of a fit.
I reckon we need to get Bot doing some content like Blogger, just going up, having a bet, just getting in the bookie's face, counting the cash.
Yeah, we'll only go another 5 minutes. What's been your favourite sort of your foods? And we know Melbourne has a great coffee culture. How have you enjoyed that? Best thing you've eaten and worst things?
I've loved it. I go to the Bridge Street Cafe. Brick Lane Cafe. It's, you know, the long road with all that trees around the sides. What's it called? Guildford Lane. Anyone tuning into this, get down to Guildford Lane for the best breakfast in Melbourne. This place is the bollocks. I'm telling you, you're going to eat your way through the menu and just sit there all day. There's a queue outside at 8 a.m. I'm there at 7:30. I beat the queue every morning. I've got my little spot in the corner. Mate, it's unbelievable. Some of the Asian food here has been unreal. There's a massive Asian culture here, obviously. I've had some great food. I went to a place there the other day. What's the best Chinese restaurant here in that tall building?
Flower Drum.
Flower Drum. I went to the Flower Drum. Some fella, I was trying to go home. He said, where are you going? I went, I'm going home, mate. I need an early night. He went, no, you're not your shit house. You're coming for dinner with me. So I ended up in this gaff called, the Flower Drum. And do you know what? It was unbelievable. The food was magnificent. Yeah.
Yes. And how have you been getting around everywhere? You've just been getting Ubers? Like, that's expensive ordeal.
I'm here in the Docklands. The tram is a 2-minute walk from my house. So I get the tram in the mornings to go and get breakfast. I've done buses. I've got a train back from Ballarat. I get some Ubers as well, obviously. I've been like a local just traveling everywhere.
This just adds to his aura even more. People are thinking he's getting a helicopter everywhere and he's been getting on public transport.
I can't even work out our own public transport, let alone thinking someone else from a different country could.
Yeah.
All right. Have you studied Thursday's fields at all, or Saturday, more importantly, Champions Day?
Thursday, no, because the Crown Oaks for me would be far too complicated. You'd need years to really understand your racing properly, and I'm not going to pretend that I can learn it overnight. You know, to be a punter, you need to understand racetracks, trainers, jockeys, pace, tempo, how certain trainers run certain horses, and that takes years to develop. And you know, I've been backing horses for 25 years now. I'd say the first 10 years were a learning curve, and the next 10 years where I started to actually become a proper punter, especially the last 5 years. I have had a look, obviously, towards Champion Stakes Day. You know, I'm a big fan of Via Sestina. I think she's an absolute certainty. I think the sprint is probably one of the best sprint races you've had in the last few years. I'm going to stick with Jodie Starr there, purely because she comes into the race as a fresh horse and she loves Flemington. Obviously, the Godolphin horse was so bloody impressive the other day. He looks a tank, but he ran a hell of a race there. How tired will he be come Saturday, 7-day U-turn? Probably want to take him on, but it wouldn't be a confident bet, like, you know.
Yep. And do you think you will be having a bet on Saturday?
Yeah, if I can get like 1.7 or bigger Via Sestina, I might have $5,000 on or something like that. You know, try and get the wages in, boys. You know what it's like. You've got to get the expenses 100%. Paid for.
100%.
Yeah, I think I have a cut of her. What fascinated me about Chris Waller was when I went to see him, he said, look at her eyes. And he said, you notice how they're coming good underneath? And obviously I didn't. I'm not an expert horse trainer. But he went, everything about her eye is now perfect. And I found that so interesting that that's how he notifies her health. So he just gave me the old Waller wink and said, she's ready. You know,
yeah.
He's got a really firm wink, that Chris Waller. He raises the eyebrow and then he winks. Yeah. You've got to pay attention to the Waller wink.
No one else gets that close enough to him longer to get the wink.
Exactly right. He's actually a very hard man to get access to.
Did you hear what Wayne said today with Gareth?
No.
So the other day, J-Mac, it was raining. J-Mac was coming through the tunnel on Via Sestina, just right behind him to try and scare him. Obviously, goes out the tunnel. It was raining. It stopped. He goes, she can really do anything. Chris Waller, J-Mac and Via, they really are unbeatable.
There you go. The dream team.
One thing I've noticed with your blog is you love to have your bets on with the on-course bookies rather than some of the big corporates. Is there any reason behind that?
Well, back in the UK, I can't get those bets online. I'm barred on the internet. And the way it works in the UK is you have to show 5 years of bank statements to get a bet on. You'd also be restricted to a potentially, depending on how much money you earn per year, maybe a £250 monthly deposit limit or £500, which, as we all know, you could have one or two bad days as a punter and you could be wiped out. And then you can't have a bet again for the whole month. So most of my wagering's done purely on course these days. I'm not punting that often anymore. I'm focusing a bit more on the content. But when I know I want to have a bet, I'm normally traveling to a race course to have a lump on and I can get on and shop around for the best value. Don't get me wrong. We'd all love to have a Bet365 account where a horse is 2-1 and it's even money come race time. But unfortunately, as you get older and your stakes get bigger, you don't have options like that anymore.
Yeah, fair enough. And are you in the green, more importantly, in your time here in Australia? Has Via got you in the green?
Yeah, I'm in the green. I've been very lucky because when I was with Gay Waterhouse, she had a runner at Bendigo that day called Fear No Evil. And I said, Gay, have you got a runner today? She went, yeah, I do. And it's a certainty. It's going to absolutely win easily. I went,
sounds like Gay.
What do you mean? She went, well, I put the heaviest jockey on the race on because he's a big horse in the handicap. He's going to lead all the way. He'll boot them out of the way. So I went to Bendigo. He was 4-1 and I had a good crack. So
that was actually an outstanding Gay Waterhouse impression.
Yeah, so I've been quite lucky. I met a fella there in the parade ring just before the off and I had Matt with me and he had his Betfair account. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to get on. And it was that horse that I stuck up on Twitter. What was it called, Vanessa? What was the name of that horse that won yesterday? We saw the owners in the parade ring.
Oh, the Henry Dwyer horse?
Yeah.
Oh, different gravy.
Different bloody gravy. So the owner come up to me, he says, back my horse quickly, it's going to win. So I think it was 5.5. So I had a monkey on that. A monkey's $500. So Matt got me on here to pay me out in cash. It was brilliant.
Oh, that is
so I lost on the day with my my bets for the Melbourne Cup. But luckily, due to that winner, it wasn't so bad. But yeah, I'm up on the trip as a whole. But Champion Stakes, I could do my brains. Let's see how it goes.
Oh, so could I. And if there's 20 mils of rain on the day, that could also be a little bit worrying.
Interesting.
What would you say about, obviously, you know, everyone's used to seeing your content in the UK, in Dubai, different other places, but what you've done for Australian racing is huge. And I think you're probably going to inspire lots of other British people and Irish people to come over to Australia and visit 3-hour carnivals. What would you say about that?
I would say to them that I think Melbourne is a cracking place. I think they'll love their time over here. It's more laid back than the UK and Ireland. I think life's a bit more fun here. If I have inspired them to come over, I'm delighted to hear that. You boys have got a great product here. Racing is phenomenal. I think there's a lot of fun to be had here, whereas the fun back home isn't quite what it is. So, yeah, listen, along with that, if I've inspired any young people to have a voice in horse racing and believe they can start doing a podcast or start their Twitter or TikTok journey, Instagram, whatever network they feel, my advice to them is just to crack on. Don't be afraid to put content out there. If people leave snide remarks on your content, keep going. And don't be afraid to approach breeders, trainers, jockeys. People forget that I started just by picking up this little mobile phone, putting one finger over, one finger under. That's the trademark Blogsy hold. Sticking your arm out and just going, hello, mate, can I get an interview with you? And that's what I still do to today. So just go for it.
No, that's awesome. Your energy is certainly infectious. For our listeners, we will do our normal podcast tomorrow, which will be our big preview of Saturday. But for now, we're just going to give a few tips for Oaks Day tomorrow. Will, take it away with your two bet set.
Yeah, I'll just have two bets tomorrow. One will be in the race number 6. It's the country series final. It is called, where is it? Keng. Kind of name of it.
Kengiro.
Kengiro, yeah. Mark Zara rides. He's airborne. A big SP last time, but it was cutting down. Lovely cut at the end of 1,400 metres at Seymour. And I think it's closer to a $6 chance. So I'll be on it tomorrow, race 6. And then I'll back Point Barrow, who I think you're backing as well, Ben.
Yep.
Race 7. In race number 7, the Red Roses. Yeah, 3-1 looks pretty good odds there.
All right. I've got four bets I'm having tomorrow. The first of those comes up in race 4. It's number 11, Chocolates, for Kieran Maher. This horse just looks like it's going through the grades very, very nicely. Carried the 58 kilos last start. Beat a horse called Presser quite easily. Presser then came out and won a country cup easily last week. I think barrier 6 is perfect. A little bit of sting out of the track is perfect. And I think she will run down Al Juka. So it gets him with 54.5 kilos, and Harry Coffey is in career best form. Chocolates is the one for me after the short price favourite Zombardo was scratched from the race earlier today. I'm also backing Point Barrow, race 7, number 7. This horse is all talent. She's going to jump from barrier 16 of 16 after the scratchings come out. She's got a wicked turn of foot. She is still a little bit enigmatic. And a little bit green. She needs to tidy that up. She has been laying in her races, but she's clearly the best filly in that, and $4 is a good bet. 17, the first emergency also in that race, Trey Magnifique, $21. Definitely worth a small saver. Barrier 1 might not be ideal, but I think she's definitely worth something because she hasn't had much luck her last couple, and she can turn it around. Nico, maybe just put your mic on. So, race 8, I am with the favourite in the Oaks. Get a good feeling. She's short enough now, $1.85. Hopefully tomorrow you might get a little bit better if a few people think she might not stay, but took the double for her to win the Wakeful into the Oaks, so already on there. She's the class filly of the race. She'll get a nice run. And in race 9, we have learned that Nadal, the second favourite, number 2 at $5.50, will likely be coming out of this race and will be saved for Saturday, because he came off an injury this preparation, and Kieran wants some more soft ground for him. So back in the 1, Ray Magnerio, he's around the $3 mark. He won the Caulfield Sprint last start, and he was pretty much held up until the 100-meter mark. He got out. He burst through. He won well. He carried 59 kilos there, carries 59 kilos again tomorrow. And despite the awkward draw a little bit, he'll be, you know, inside and potentially midfield. He's just got panels on those from a class perspective, so he can take out the last.
Right. Yes.
You got all... Nico?
I've got two for tomorrow. I'm backing Point Barrow and got a good feeling as well. Get a good feeling. We'll just keep it at that. Two good bets for me. That's that. I'm very disappointed Zombardo's out. Like, seriously.
Yep. race 7 and race 8. All right, Blogs, you get all them?
I did. Got a little note back here all written down. I'll be measuring up your tips.
We'll see how we go.
We're better Blogs than tipsters.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You might get the opportunity to meet Will tomorrow. Otherwise, we might catch you on Saturday. Just to round things out, mate, we just want to say it's been awesome to have you here in Australia. Everyone is really appreciative of what you've done for the industry here, and I hope that's the way you've received it online as well.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, boys. Great to speak to you, and keep up the great work with your podcast. You're doing good stuff.
Thanks, guys. And to our listeners, we will see you back here tomorrow night for our big rundown of a massive Champions Day. We'll be going through all 9 races, hopefully 9 winners.
Lift them, lift them. And say